on Ephesians 3, 1 through 21. And as I go through, I'm going to explain what I've learned about it, the way God has helped me with it. Can you hear me back there? Okay, this is just especially for you. And now it won't do your mother any good. She's too far gone. But anyway, you can hear me back there in the back. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Now, what I want to do with this is get you to really concentrate on something that is very important. You need to study to show yourself approved unto God. And so if you're going to do that after you're saved, you can't really understand what God has to say to you personally or what he has to say in general if you aren't saved. Now, when you're saved, all of a sudden, you begin to notice things and you begin to have an interest in the Word of God. If you're not careful, it'll just kind of drift away. The Word's not drifting away. You're drifting away from it. Can you still hear me out there? Anytime you can't hear me, well, stick up your hand and I'll gear it up two octaves. Paul said, for this cause, you have to look on the other side if you want to know what cause. He's talking about a holy temple in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. When I grew up, many preachers did not like the Jews. And so usually when something came up in church like this, they would not interpret it correctly because they weren't paying attention to what it said. And remember, Paul was sent to the Gentiles by God to do something. So when he would write to a church like Ephesus, by this time, they had Gentiles in it, they had Jews in it, they had Jewish church members, they had Gentile church members. Now notice what he says. He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now when he called himself a prisoner, he meant I was set free. And there's lots of things I didn't understand when I was young and preachers were preaching this. And I heard this preached several different ways. And quite frankly, it's one of the things that kept me in the church because afterwards, I got to be curious about this. Why was I curious? Because God had a purpose for me, and I was saved, and it was very difficult for me. But one of the things I had to sort out between myself is, why would Paul write an epistle to a church that was full of Jews and full of Gentiles? A lot of preachers, and I know when I was growing up, they didn't like Jews at all. And when I started selling stuff at school places, they'd send me out and my mother didn't like Jews. So I didn't understand that. So they would send me out to these Jewish places and I'd go out there and I'd go in and he'd talk to me and very cordial everywhere I went. And they contributed money to a journal that we had that had all the names in it, and the money would go to buy things for the poor and feed people. So I took all this in, and I thought, now, what's wrong here? Why don't my mother like Jews? And I started, when I was at church, I noticed that they would always put the Jews down. Well, I can understand because the Jews persecuted them. But not all the Jews persecuted them because the ones that were going out and doing it, they were Jews. And they accepted Gentile people that would come to him. He says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Do you know it took me a long, long time to understand that I was a prisoner? I'm a prisoner. You say, well, you're a prisoner of who? I'm not a prisoner of the devil. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes Paul would use these expressions, and the people to whom he used them, they understood it. He says, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. So we can look at this and we can say, okay, he wrote this to a church that had Jews and Gentiles in it. He says, if ye have heard, he said, if, this is a conditional, if it means that it's conditional if you understand what he's talking about. For ye, it's plural. For ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is to you word. Why did I put the dash in there? He says, is unto you word. You all at the church. They had both Jews and Gentiles, and there were some members that were Gentiles, there were some members that were Jew. He said, which is given to you word. He says, now I'm telling you, this is to all of you, and he said, the Gentiles included, because they had trouble. Paul had trouble. Peter had trouble. When Peter would come up, and Peter would go up and he would, he'd say, I'll follow you to death. And then the Lord showed him, no, Peter, you won't, because you need to be converted. Now, the problem that we encounter in our churches, you've got to address it. And you can't have people in a church that hate black people. But you can't have people, black people in a church that don't want to worship the way you want to worship. You can't have them. The problem is in what they believe. It is not in their color. You say, well, have you experienced that? Oh, I've experienced it quite a bit because I've preached all over the country. And I've preached all over Europe. And I've preached, well, not all over, but most of it. And I've preached all over California. And I tell you, the problem is real. But out there, they accept blacks. Well, you say, if you accept a black member and they're not, and they found out they're not scriptural, what do you do? Well, you just wait until God pulls them out, and he does. You say, that I don't like that way. Well, they didn't like the Jews back here either. The Gentiles, they didn't like each other. So it was a thing that they needed to get over, but leave the actual plucking up of the ones that were thorns to the Lord. How that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Paul said, I know the mystery. First time I ever learned how to interpret, I learned this as an analyst. You see, if God wrote this book, and he did, he understands prepositions, he understands every part of the Greek language. And he wanted me to understand what he was talking about. You say, did you know that then? No, but I've kept on learning. I'm still learning, and I'm teaching to you what I learned and what they taught me. And it, as I understand, I wrote a four in a few words. I got a long thing about that long. Well, maybe that long. It's longer. Because it goes over to several pages. You just go, you can go down, and it's nothing but little short sermons on being saved. And it's just strictly on being saved. And I wouldn't take anything in the world for them. Because when I came here, we had people in the church that weren't too fond of Jews. And we had people in the church that weren't too fond of blacks. And if I wanted to stay here, I knew that I had to preach the truth or God would kill me. And at the same time, I had to talk to him and talk to him and talk to him about it. And finally, I discovered what he would settle for. And what he settled for was, when I got to the part about the rapture, they were first of the weakers. And so I just go like that with my pointer and say, see right there it is. You know, I had no idea how much difference there was between the people in the church and the people that I had lived with and my own mother and my own father. And I thought, if God doesn't show you this, how are you ever going to learn it? So that's when I began to study the Greek language, even before I went to school for it. He says, whereby, when you read, now remember he's writing to saved, born again, church members in a church where some of the members are Jews and some of the members are Gentiles. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Well, I started studying Paul, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Now, when you talk about this man here, when he says the sons of men, this is something that I learned. I knew a lot of things when I came here. I knew a lot of things when I was growing up. What they taught me was the truth. And when it came along, I was supposed to add to the truth what I already knew. And as I went along, I discovered that, and I knew this when I came here, that they had an advanced course in forecasting at the seminary. I discovered, an advanced course in the mystery of Christ and who he was and what he was and why he was. And I knew they had it. So I discovered that most of the churches, most of the religious groups that have seminaries, they teach it. But they don't teach it in our seminary until you get up to the advanced level. He says, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What I discovered was that when you talk about Jesus Christ, he's always existed. He's not someone that is a separate personality from God. When God formed the earth and made heaven and earth, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, where did God come from? Jesus Christ is God. You say, well, how is that possible? He is the only begotten Son of God. You say, well, how is that possible? Where did God come from? He's eternal. He always has been and he always will be. Now, that's what they teach in advanced forecasting and in advanced theology. And just about all universities and colleges. But they don't really teach it because they believe it. They teach it because the language justifies it. It's the most foolish thing I've ever heard of in my life. I had a church member ask me the other day, what happens if you call somebody a fool? And it said they were in danger of hell fire. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's a particular kind of fool they're referring to. It's a fool that believes that knows what the truth is, but doesn't believe it. So this is something that, as I have pastored here, I've had a lot of people help me with. Chuck's helped me with it a lot. Chuck's father helped me before him. I was helped by some of the teachers in the seminary who understood what Paul was writing about, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the sons of men. The sons of men. Well, wait a minute. How did God have a son if God has always existed? Well, because God transformed himself into the second part of the Godhead. God actually fulfill the roles, if you want to call them the offices, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He did it. You say, well, how's that begotten? God, they were begotten because God had the power to do it. You say, well, now you're assuming something. No. Jesus said that he wouldn't hold anybody accountable if they didn't believe him. They'd go to hell if they didn't believe what he was teaching. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what happened. You say, well, you mean that that God's Son, it was his real son that he overshadowed Mary? No, they didn't have sex. They didn't have to, because God made man. And so whenever God made himself into three offices, he was able to go ahead and do what he did. You say, well, I don't understand that. You know why you don't understand it? Because there's a devil. And do you know what it meant to the devil after somebody got saved? The devil is no fool. The devil knew that that was the only way he could stop God from getting glory, is to confuse people on who he really is. There is only one God. His name is Jesus Christ. And you say, well, you can look over in Isaiah. What does he say his name is? He says his name. It's very clear. He said his name is, and he starts off with Almighty God. How is that possible? He overshadowed Mary. You say, well, they had sex together? No. He didn't have to. He told us plainly that he had life to give life, and he had power to take it back again. He could resurrect himself. And so the truth of the matter is, once you get saved, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation. You say, well, why did I have so much trouble in understanding that? That's the only way the devil can stop you from giving glory to God. To believe that he doesn't have all power in heaven and earth. If he doesn't have all power in heaven and earth, how is he going to save you? How's he going to do it? You say, well, he just will. Those kind of answers are something that don't satisfy the soul. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a gift. It's by grace. If you can convince people that it's not by grace, and tell them it doesn't work, then the truth of the matter is, the devil's already won the victory over you, because he's convinced you that salvation is something that you can keep working on all your life. And maybe if you do it just right, he'll take you home. You say, well, how many people have believed that? A lot of people. There are many people in the Bible that are mentioned, and they actually believe that they had eternal life and that the light was in them was of God. But he told them, he said, the scribes and the Pharisees. The Pharisees, of course, the scribes didn't, but the problem has always been the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil. My brother doesn't believe there's a devil. That's the way you eliminate it. God has one objective in mind for you and me. Anything, 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 anything that will convince us that Jesus Christ is not the Almighty Son of God. He is, because God made himself fulfill the role of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I've taught you things that they only teach in high-class seminaries. You say, I know they're wrong. Do you know what a fool is? It's somebody that gets the truth and does not believe it. That's what a fool is. And he said, don't you call anybody a fool, because I know people that understand what I just told you. But they aren't any more saved than Moody's goose. And the truth of the matter is, God made his word so that the simple could understand it. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, you say, well, but I'm not poor in spirit. You are, but the Lord isn't. And you believe that the Lord can do all things in heaven and earth. You say, how do I know I'm saved? You just figured it out. It's because he taught you. And he is the one that did the saving. And you need to give all the credit to him, every bit of it. Because how can you say I'm humble when you've got to help God? You don't have to help God in any way. What God wants you to do is help, is let him help you. He says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. He took on the role of the Son, and he was the son of David. They called him the son of David. That when he would go, about half the time they called him the son of David, and the other half of the time they wanted to know if he was the Messiah. As it is now revealed, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Notice what he says. Notice, remember who this was written to, both Jew and Gentile member. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. I can take you to theological seminaries. I've been all over the world and I've done a lot of research on this. And I can show you colleges and universities that you wouldn't take a letter from. But if you went to one of their high-priced, high-powered, very learned seminaries, you would discover that they teach this in the final courses. And the truth is, they don't believe it. You say, I don't see how anybody could teach this and not believe it. Well, let me tell you, they do. If you think the devil isn't smart, the devil is very intelligent, and he lays in every corner trying to thwart you from learning any more than you do now. You say, well, I've got this figured out. You don't have it. I haven't got it figured out. I'm your pastor. Maybe you ought to be the pastor of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. By the gospel, the good news. You say, well, you mean that those Jewish members, they accepted the Gentiles? Yes. Did they accept Gentiles that wouldn't follow their teachings? No. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I do. Because a lot of people come and sit and listen to the gospel 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 and listen to the gospel. I've had quite a few of them come from Tech over here and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. And finally, God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. They can tell you what I preach, but they don't believe it. And it's not the fact that I'm the preacher. I don't get offended if nobody believes me. I only get offended at myself if I don't make it clear that all power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus Christ and that God wants to humble every one of his children because God is the truth whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. You know why I'm a preacher? Well, I'm not the Apostle Paul. I wish I had been able to live a life like he lived. According to the gift, it's a gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. That's the only reason I'm going to heaven. When I went to Jesus Christ and I finally accepted him as my Savior and I believed that he saved me. But you say, why did you believe it? I finally understood I can't save myself. And then I understood that only he could. And finally, when I kept, I don't know how many times I asked him to save me. And finally, one day, I just surrendered. I just said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And I tried so hard. Well, it was given unto me by the effectual working of the power of his power unto me. Now this is Paul speaking, who am less than the least of all saints. You say he's just speaking figuratively. No he's not. Paul believed that. You say, well, if he believed that, wasn't he just speaking? How could he say that? Because he believed it. Well, you say, what do you believe? I believe the same thing. I'm not Paul, but I'm the least of all saints. that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what I preach. That's what I preach. That's what I believe. That's what I practice. And to make all men, he had to supply that word, to make all, that's a supplied word because it's italicized, meaning both man and man and woman, see the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Okay. How could a God who didn't have a mother and a father, a God who had, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, you say, he didn't have a mother and a father. No, he didn't. But I tell you, and power to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heaven that places might be known by the church, by the church. You say, well, why did God have you go to the seminary? I know now, because a lot of our churches don't understand that. Oh, they understand that the church is very important, and it certainly is, because that all principalities in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. I wouldn't have any problem whatsoever if two black people came in here, black as the ace of spades, and actually put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them and wanted to join this church, and it was genuine. Because the truth of the matter is, God wrote this to both Jew and Gentile in churches that had both Jew and Gentile members, according to the eternal purpose which he purchased in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now notice, you think this is easy for me to preach to you? Do you think it's easy to preach this to any church in whom we have boldness and access with confidence? Why do you have confidence in Christ, in whom you have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, Jesus? You say, well, is that why you think you're going to heaven? That's why I know I'm going to heaven. He fulfilled the law and Moses, the law of Moses, in every jot and every tittle. And a church is supposed to be made up of people that are both Jew and Gentile. And the important thing is not the color of their skin, but what they believe. And if they're not saved, I don't care if they're black, pink, purple, yellow, green, it doesn't matter. If they believe that Jesus Christ has all the power in heaven, they wouldn't be saved if they didn't come and finally realize, I can't save myself. Well, in whom ye have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, conclusion, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Who do you think the greatest of the disciples was? Well, I try to pick any one of them. The Lord told him not to do that. But he says, I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was very humble. And he was very humble because he came to understand that he wasn't humble. He came to understand that he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He did all this. He did all that. He went around killing his brothers and Jewish people. He was terrible. But all of a sudden, something changed. What changed? The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Well, your pastor's sitting down here right now. And I'm telling you that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You know who's living inside me? Christ, by faith. You know why I loved Imogene so much? Because I saw Imogene in her. I saw Christ in Imogene. You say, well, couldn't she see you? Not at first. Christ uses people to convert others. Christ uses people to convert others. That's why I loved her so much. She was so kind and gentle and loving and patient with me. And I was like a wild bull. But make no mistake, I was saved. But he didn't give me to her to help her. He gave her to me so seeing him in her could help me. Don't tell me that doesn't happen in marriages. Some of you have experienced it. And just because I was the way I was, totally depraved, that doesn't mean I helped Imogene. But I sure hope I get to live close to where she is in heaven, because I love her so much for that. But I came to understand something. Jesus said that you love me because I first loved you. I didn't get that at first. You love me because I first loved you. If he hadn't come along and I hadn't understood what he was like, would I ever have been converted? I was saved. But he showed me what he was like in that sweet little woman that put up with me. I thought I was so smart. And I wasn't. May dwell in your hearts by faith that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. I'm rooted and grounded in love. You say, well, now that you're all set and rooted and grounded in love, what else are you going to do? I'm going to preach this to you. I'm going to preach it straight from the Word of God. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. I know the love of Christ. Why? Because he first loved me. When I came to understand that he loved me and I was depraved, totally depraved, I loved myself. I loved a lot of things. But I didn't know the love of Christ. I was saved, which passeth knowledge. Why did God save me? That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what you call being saved. You say, you mean to say, tell me that all of a sudden he was living in you? Yes. You mean tell me you think you get the fullness of God when you get saved? Yes. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant about all that we ask or think, now notice, according to the power that worketh in us. He's got to be in you and save you before you get to go to heaven. And when he comes in you, it's all over. But not for you. Not for you. Oh, you're saved. You won't go to hell. What's eternity like? I've never been there. What's it like to lay in bed and you can't get up and walk? Know what that's like? Seems like an eternity. Man, if I'm beginning to understand a little bit about eternity, 1,000 years is a day with the Lord and 1,000 days is a year. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. That's pretty plain. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Well, you're over here, aren't you? You're a church, aren't you? You know him as Savior, don't you? You say, well, what about the others? You say, well, they're being converted. How long did it take you to start getting converted? You weren't sure about a lot of things. And Anna Mae, the first thing you do is start chewing gum. So I'm never worried about you. The truth of the matter is, God humbles you. God, I've had so many preachers that told me, all power is given unto me. And you know, I have the power of God working in me. And it's like, I can help you. I just helped you. But not me. It was the Spirit of the Lord that works in me. It didn't come from me. You say, how do you know it didn't come from you? I had to learn this. I had to be taught personally by the Lord. You say, how did he do it? Every day he reminded me of what was wrong. One day I got saved. I'd heard all this, not the power about in seminaries and all that stuff, but all that stuff God wanted me to go back and understand. So I don't just sit down here and tell you, all power of God is for the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. I'm certain of it because I understand this language. You say, well, why do you understand it? Because God drove me to do what I did. I didn't want to do it. I had all kind of plans. I was planning to get out and go to work at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia or the Severe Weather Warning Center in Kansas City, Missouri. And I had all kind of recommendations and stuff. But God wouldn't leave me alone until I just started doing what he wanted. I discovered how many mistakes you can make. I discovered how even though I was God called to do this, I had a lot to learn. You say, well, why did you preach this here tonight? I want you to know that God wants you to be here tonight. God wanted me to come over here and preach tonight. He gave me the ability and the strength in these legs to get over here. I don't know what God plans for me for the rest of my life, but I know I'm going to heaven, and I know when I get there, I'm going to have to stand and be judged for how I pastored this church, and I've been here a long time. I could have done a whole lot better if I had just surrendered to God a whole lot earlier and not loved attention and recognition more than God. It's a battle. Paul won it. He said he had finished his course. That's a nautical term. And it's like losing a ship. And finally it gets to where it can float. And I remember the 1968 Olympics. There was a runner, I think he came from Kenya, I'm not sure. But he came to run in the Olympics. He fell down at the beginning of the race and badly damaged his knee. Then he fell down and badly damaged the other knee. He was in excruciating pain. But he kept running. He bled. There was blood running down both sides of his legs. And this isn't a story a preacher told and I just picked it up. This is an actual account of what happened. And he came down an hour after the finish. And there were still a few people down there. And he stumbled across the line and collapsed. And every time you use that expression that you love so much, you have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. They couldn't understand why he did that. He said, I did it for my country. I did it for my country. Do you know why you need to stay in the race? Do you know why it's important? If you think I'm disappointed at the crowd that's here tonight, I'm not. So help me, I'm not. The truth is, you're running a race. and you're doing it for God. There's lots of things you may not understand, but you understand who won in the end. And you understand that running the race for Him and not for your own purposes, and understanding His love. You only love Him because He first loved you, but He had to save you, to teach you. And so I finished 5 minutes early. Praise the Lord. I'll have to quit preaching against miracles. Chili, you want to dismiss this?